There are growing worries about the possibility of a global economic recession. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Official figures today from China show a sharp drop in economic activity in April. That is when the government imposed lockdowns in some major cities in accordance with its zero COVID policy. It has not only kept case counts low, but a lid on economic growth. Retail sales shrank 11% from the year prior, falling to a two-year low in April. Industrial production was down nearly 3%, and unemployment climbed to 6.1%, its highest rate since February 2020. There are fears, then, that the world's second-largest economy could contract in the second quarter, and that could cause problems for the wider global economic system, as Andy Xi, an independent economist in Shanghai, explains.
China has routinely accounted for one-third to half of the global growth. So what's going on in China is very significant for the global economy. So I think that if the second quarter it ends, then maybe we'd only see a dip in the global economy. We recover in the third quarter. But we know Omicron comes back. So that is really how the economy is going to fare. It depends on the policy. As long as the government sticks to zero tolerance, I think the economy will remain very depressed for this year or even beyond. We probably will see a severe, significant global recession.
Now, some cities say they're beginning to open up now, but we've been hearing, at least where you are in Shanghai, that most people are still very restricted. What are you seeing on the ground?
Well, I think that the government is still locking people up inside these residential compounds. In some, like my mother's place, where people cannot come down because there is a recent positive case. But where I am, we can come down in the garden, but we cannot go out. So most people are like that. Very few exceptions. Regardless of what the government says, you have to look at the numbers because the government is serious about zero COVID. So as long as the numbers are significantly different from zero, you expect severe restrictions on mobility.
Are there any plans, at least where you are, to ease those lockdown restrictions in the next couple of days? Or is it sort of status quo for a while, as far as you know?
Oh, I think it's going to be a long time. When this began, at the beginning of April, the government said it would be 4 days. Now we've been over 40 days. Even if you get to where Beijing is, still, you don't have much mobility. You know, some cities in northeast China, they've been kind of in lockdown, semi-lockdown for over 6 months.
Mm. Andy Xi in Shanghai, independent economist for us. Thank you so much for breaking this down.
Thanks for having me, Victoria.
Well, the Shanghai Composite Index finished down 0.3% in today's session, while other benchmarks across Asia were mixed. It's a similar picture here across Europe, with benchmarks little changed as we check some other numbers now. Shares of carmaker Renault are up 0.5% in Paris. That's after the company said it's selling its majority stake in a Russian carmaker following pressure over its continued dealings in Russia. That'll cost Renault more than $2 billion with a 6-year option to buy back the business. In a referendum this weekend, more than half of Swiss voters backed a proposal to require global streaming services to invest some of their revenues in filmmaking in Switzerland. From Geneva, the BBC's Imogen Folks explains why.
What they've said is that some of the money that they pay out to the streamers like Disney, Sky, Netflix, etc., should come back into Swiss filmmaking, because I think there is a feeling, and this is reflected across Europe, but maybe particularly in smaller countries like this, that they need to see that their own homegrown film culture thrives.
Well, one of those streaming giants, Netflix, said it respects the results of that referendum and vowed to work with government on more representative content. To India now, where Prime Minister Narendra Modi said last month his country was ready to feed the world. India was preparing to increase its wheat exports to help cover the shortfall in supplies wiped off the global market due to the war in Ukraine. But that plan has now been reversed, and a ban on wheat supplies leaving the country has been enacted. That has caused the benchmark wheat index to surge more than 6% today. From the financial capital, Mumbai, the BBC's Arunade Mukherjee explains inflation, then, at home, is the driving force behind the policy U-turn.
The move to ban wheat exports comes after a huge crop loss due to a heat wave that was experienced in northern India in March. This region is the primary wheat growing region of the country. Through this decision, the government also hopes to try and control the spike in prices at home, because the government is also under tremendous pressure as we speak to try and rein in inflation that surged to nearly 7.8% in April. India has made some exceptions though, and this is the defense that they're banking on in the face of global criticism after they took this decision. The notification clarified that they were doing this in order to manage, and I'm quoting the notification, in order to manage the overall food security of the country and to support the needs of the neighboring and other vulnerable countries. India is the second largest wheat producer after China in the world, and we all know what's happening with the Russia-Ukraine conflict. So all the exports from that entire Black Sea region are dropped, and therefore a lot of reliance has now come onto India.
And so if maybe the wheat harvest is better than expected, could that pave the way for yet another U-turn by the government?
It could, but we haven't seen the government make any noise about this. But it is certainly important to note that this also affects India's credibility. This has been criticized by the group of seven nations during their meeting in Germany. They said that if everyone starts banning exports, then the crisis could worsen. Earlier this month, officials had said very clearly that there is no move to curb wheat exports as the country has sufficient stocks. In fact, the Prime Minister, you'd remember, was visiting Europe earlier this month, and in Germany, he highlighted the contribution of Indian farmers in meeting the global shortage of wheat. So this does come as a bit of a hit to India's credibility as a reliable supplier, and that's why India will face the pressure.
The BBC's Aruna Day Mukherjee for us in Mumbai. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you, Victoria.
Finally, starting today, face masks are no longer mandatory on flights or in airports across the EU. Regulators say it's a big step toward normalizing travel. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.